This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth. On Mix 94.5. See Southern Plus Aged Care at this year's Have A Go Day, November 1st at Burswood Park.
Move over, Beyonce. Broom's principal, Mr. Armin, has busted a hell of a move. It's from Broome Senior High School. He's pulled off the ultimate graduation gift for this year's 2017 class, a choreographed, well-rehearsed dance to the performer's classic track, Single Ladies, and we thought we'd just get him on to say, you are awesome.
Thanks, Pete and Lisa. Yeah, it was quite funny.
I bet it was. You've probably heard you're awesome quite a lot from your graduating class today. I mean, Single Ladies is just part of it. It's a whole piece. Now, you say that every year you take on a challenge issued to you by the graduating group.
Yeah.
This year it's the dance. Has this been the toughest yet?
Look, it certainly wasn't easy. You could probably guess I'm not a great dancer, but that was a challenge. We gave it a go and we sort of managed to pull it off.
What are some of the other challenges that you've done over the years?
Oh, Pete, I played the drums one year in the school band, and my musical talent is about as good as my dancing talent, so that was quite funny. And then one year I learned the didgeridoo with a local didgeridoo player, and thank God he was on stage with me, because otherwise that would have been a flop, but we managed to pull that off as well. So it's been great. It's been fantastic.
Now, you were egged into doing it by your daughter, Yasmin. She's one of the girls in the video, and her friend Penny. And you say, you know, we work hard to embarrass our kids, but you just couldn't embarrass her enough. How does she reckon you rated?
Oh, yeah, look, Yazzie was pretty good. It was Penny and Yazzie's idea. And we always encourage the kids to do something special at graduation for a fitting thing. And she wasn't embarrassed at all. In fact, I think she was trying to embarrass me.
Now, look, you know, I know when I went to school, I had a principal who, he was a nice guy and all that sort of stuff, but it was very much the, I don't get involved in that because I like to separate myself completely from the school body because I'm a figure of authority. How does that sort of sit in your mind? Are you more of a bit of a mate to the kids as well as being their principal?
Oh, look, I wouldn't say I'm a mate to the kids, Pete, but yeah, I certainly get involved with the kids. I think what we try and do here is create a culture where we have the very best relationships between staff and students. We understand that if you can create a culture that is supportive, inclusive, and human, then you're certainly going to get the best out of students. And I'm pretty certain that's what we've done. We have an unbelievable group of staff who work in that sense, and our kids achieve brilliantly.
Well, I mean, on a serious note, it's probably more complicated than being a mate. They've got enough mates. They've got their classmates. You've got to find that sort of medium line. And kudos to you. You obviously have. You have really developed a situation up there, whereas once most kids would leave a school by the time they got to year 12, about 90%, is this right, are now staying in Broome?
Yeah, that's right, Lisa. So about 10 years ago, 55% of kids would leave primary and actually leave the town.
Mm-hmm.
And now this year we hit the 90% mark. So we've gone from 450 kids to 900 at the school. You know, we've got 100 year 12s, 40% now go to uni. All our stats are fantastic. And we actually work on the notion that we're about changing lives. We're not just a school.
Yeah.
We're not in the business of being average. We're in the business of being extraordinary. We understand our position in this community. We understand if you can keep families in town, the town will become strong and the school plays a central part because, you know, we obviously deal with kids. So you just work hard to create that culture.
Well, well done to you because that is an amazing achievement all round. So good on you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, Principal Armin. Look, we hope there are other schools around who, if they're looking for a bit of inspiration, listening to this right now and taking on the model, and we appreciate your time, mate. Thank you very much.
No worries. Take care, guys.
If you want to see that video, you can find it online now, mix.com.au, and also at the Mix Facebook page. What a cool teacher, Lise.
What a cool teacher, and how cool for you and I to talk to the principal without having been summoned.
Be a first, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Hey, 13:33:53, we want to know about your cool teachers.
Yeah.
Okay, what made them cool? Because
they can change your life.
Absolutely,
totally,
they can.
Totally alters your life having a
cool
teacher. I
mean, you know, like I still from time to time go back to St. Norbert's to visit Miss Hilton, my drama teacher, because she was just a load of fun. She got her point across by making her classes a lot of fun, you know?
I have very fond memories of my drama teacher. Her name was Mrs. Fantasia. How dramatic is
Mrs.
that? I love that.
Mrs. Fantasia,
love you. And loved my English lit teacher, Mrs. Kavanagh. She was fantastic too.
Uh-huh, she sounds lit.
Mm, she's lit.
It?
Sue in Bateman, hi, what's your cool teacher?
Hi, I went to a school called Carrilla in Coobla.
Mm-hmm.
It was my year six teacher. His name was Mr. Johnson. He would actually bring his dogs into class. Like, he had two Rottweilers. See, back then you could do all this stuff. You're not allowed anymore.
They have to sign in at the front desk.
Yeah, pretty much. But the best thing about it, he would take us, our whole class, out to his house in Byford.
Yeah.
And we would actually get to go swimming in his pool. We'd have a barbecue out there and just get out of class for the day.
That is cool. It just didn't get any cooler than a dog on the school grounds.
Yeah, there was two of them too.
Oh, two. Amazing. Thanks,
wow.
Sue.
No,
thank you, thanks.
Sue.
Thanks.
Andrew and Mandra, tell us about your cool teacher.
Well, his name was Captain James Ewell.
Oh.
And he was the band master for the escape team from Colditz in the Second World War.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That is amazing.
The stories he must have told you guys.
Well, we hated maths, so we just used to ask him about Colditz, and then he would tell us about the whole thing, and then our maths lessons would go pretty quickly.
I would have loved a teacher called Captain. How amazing. You could have done the end of Dead Poets Society. Captain, my captain.
And he had a moustache that would have been about a foot long.
Oh, wow. Was it a curly one?
Yeah, he was a proper English gentleman.
Amazing. Thanks, Andrew.
Yeah, no, he was fabulous.
And we've got Joe in Kununurra. Joe, tell us about your cool teacher.
Hi, guys. Yes, my cool teacher was a lady called Carol Ford.
Yeah.
And it was in about 1984, and it was an all-girls school called Santa Maria. And she was the most amazing teacher because I was doing a business ed talk course, like one of those secretarial courses that you did in those days.
Yes.
And she made shorthand typing, you know, calculator work, office work, with her cups of tea, and, you know, how to behave ourselves and work in an office, etc.
Ladies,
but she
yes.
was so inspiring, you know, that sounds thing. But she was so inspiring. I went and did year 11 again so I could actually become a business ed teacher like her, and I still am.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah, you know what? Yeah,
that's special.
That is amazing. It only takes one amazing teacher, and it just can set you on the, you know, the path for life.
Yeah.
Absolutely, she's just amazing, and I've lost touch with her. She came to my 23rd. She came to my wedding.
Yeah,
but I've lost her now. So if Carol Ford's out there, contact the station, and you guys can contact me.
Oh, I love a reunion.
Yeah,
thanks,
that'd be fantastic. Thanks, Joe.
See ya.
Nah, quite literally. Carol Ford, if you're listening, feel free to give us a buzz. 1333 53. We'll put you in touch for sure. Dr. Lorraine Finlay is the constitutional law expert from Murdoch University, who we spoke to months ago when we first heard about government ministers who had essentially broken their constitutional obligations, having found out that they were not Australian citizens. Today, the High Court has ruled that 7 ministers should be kicked out of government, never to return. So we've gone to Lorraine to tell us what's going on and what it all means. Hi, Lorraine.
Well, 5 of them are out, but from the government's point of view, the most significant one of those is, of course, the Deputy Prime Minister, Mr. Barnaby Joyce, which means the government is forced to a by-election in New England, which I don't think it really wants to go to at the moment.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it, Dr. Finlay? The government is now without a one-seat majority.
Exactly. And the good news for the government is Parliament has risen and won't be sitting for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The bad news is they are due to sit again before the by-election occurs. So the government will have to be in Parliament without that one-seat majority.
Does this mean we have a straight down the middle hung parliament now? Is there any point in them sitting at all?
Well, it's a little bit more complex than that because, of course, there are a number of independents in the lower house, and a number of those have already given indications that they'll support supply. So the situation isn't a disaster in the sense that the government can still keep governing, but the job did just get a whole lot harder.
Yeah. Now, with the 7 themselves, some of them had already resigned. Nick Xenophon says he's going to quit Parliament, whatever the court ruled. Matt Canavan can remain. Most people are interested in Barnaby Joyce. He is the Deputy PM and so on. Does this mean for Barnaby that he has to pay back salary and entitlements for the time that he has not been an MP?
Well, potentially, there is law that says any parliamentarian who is disqualified from Parliament does have to pay back not only their salary, but all of the entitlements.
Mm.
But, of course, we know from the past cases that have arisen that the Special Minister for State can waive that requirement. And, indeed, in a number of cases that have occurred over the past 12 months, that's exactly what happened.
Could it go so far as some bills being declared invalid regarding past parliamentary votes where people we know now were ineligible participated? It's so messy.
Not in relation to the parliamentary votes. Mm-hmm. The High Court has ruled before that parliamentary votes will survive, but the real question is ministerial decisions. Mm. So while no parliamentary bills or laws are in danger, decisions that were taken by both Barnaby Joyce and also Fiona Nash when they were ministers could potentially be challenged, and that's an area of real legal complexity.
Oh, gosh, we could do without this mess, can't we?
Indeed. And, of course, the other challenge that's now there is the High Court has set out a very clear black and white test under Section 44, Subsection 1, and there are a number of other parliamentarians that weren't referred, but we know had doubts over their citizenship status. And I imagine they're looking at this ruling very carefully because it will open the door again to more questions about those remaining parliamentarians and whether they're eligible under this test.
Wow.
Yeah, wow is the word for it. Watch this space because there's a lot more to come in the next 6 months. Dr. Lorraine Finlay from Murdoch, thank you so much for your time. As always, we appreciate it.
Thank you for making it understandable for us, Dr. Finlay.
Thanks for your time.
Australia has an energy supply crisis. In a country as abundant with resources as ours, it defies logic that there are people who can't even pay for the electricity or gas to cook a simple meal. Elon Musk, the American billionaire with a brilliant mind, says he wants to help. And so we should probably listen. And we can start with this weekend's 60 Minutes when Liz Hayes sits down for a fascinating chat with Elon Musk. And Liz joins us now. Welcome to the show, Liz Hayes. It is our honour to have you join us today.
Oh, wow. It's my honour to be here.
Now, Liz, I'm in South Australia as we speak, actually, and this happens to be the place that Elon Musk a little while ago said, look, I know you guys are going through an energy crisis. I can fix it by building the world's biggest lithium-ion battery to power the state, and I'll do it in 100 days. Or it's free. It's on me. Did he get a chance to actually speak to you in regards to this, how far along he is so far?
Yeah, look, they're very confident about making that time. Look, this battery won't power all of South Australia, but it should be able to help stabilise the grid. That's the point of it. It's the world's biggest battery, 3 times bigger than any other battery in the world. So it's an ambitious project he took on. And he said he was worried about failing, not because of the technology, but because of Jamestown. It was so far away and logistically getting everything there. But no, he's very confident that it will happen.
Liz, on paper, I mean, to me, he's certainly a fascinating person. You've sat down and talked to him. Does he have ideas that we, our government, should definitely listen to?
I think that, you know, his view is that we have an abundance of natural resources, and we do. Mm. Australia is perfectly positioned for good sun and wind and hydro and thermal, and we have these amazing fossil fuels as well. And very soon, it will be cheaper to go with renewables rather than fossil fuels.
Liz, it's always seemed to me, and I'm a bit of a cynic, so I could be totally off base, but it's always seemed to me that governments in general don't necessarily care too much for taking advice from people, even when they're an expert in a particular field. Do you think that they are likely to, you know, to take on board what he says?
Look, I think Jay Weatherill will and is participating with him. But the rest of the country, the federal government, for example, they do view him as Mr. Hollywood, and they do view him as just bringing to the country just another shiny distraction, I think is how they put it. So they're a little bit cynical and they don't much like it, but it all falls into politics. You know, he's used to being put down, he said. He's used to being ridiculed, and he's used to just having to ignore it and just get on with it. And he seems to do that quite well.
Dee, speaking of that, the successes, as you mentioned, haven't come without hardship. I mean, I've read the stories of him growing up in South Africa, having been bullied and beaten up badly to the point where at 41 years of age, he had to have surgery to fix a deviated septum. I mean, that's just one. You know, did he open up to you about his younger years growing up and the trials and tribulations of what brought him to where he is today?
Look, he is a guy that I think, you're right, he has come from a fairly difficult background in that he was bullied and I think he was thrown down a set of stairs and God knows what else. I was quite taken aback when I put to him the poverty that has come from extraordinary prices of power. There are people having to make choices between food and power, and he's truly shocked, and it actually overwhelmed him. Mm. I mean, he teared up because for him, it was an impossible thought that this could be happening in a place like Australia.
All right.
Well, it's going to be a fascinating chat.
Absolutely, and we look forward to it. You can see this when 60 Minutes is back, Sunday night after The Block on Channel 9, Liz Hayes sitting down with Elon Musk. Thank you so much for joining us, Liz. We appreciate
your
time.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you for giving me the time. Thank you.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5. See Southern Plus Aged Care at this year's Have A Go Day, November 1st at Burswood Park.